The producers of this podcast acknowledge the traditional custodians of the Gumatj lands, and we pay our respects to their elders, past and present.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of Woodchat, a Forest and Wood Products Australia podcast. There's a growing interest in the commercial potential of Northern Australia's vast Indigenous owned and managed forest estate. At the same time, there are strong aspirations among Indigenous communities for self-determination and economic independence. For that reason, a recently completed research project supported by Forest and Wood Products Australia has showcased the great potential that exists for the development of sustainable native forestry activities in the Northern Territory led by traditional owner communities. A number of project partners came together to facilitate professionally trained forester engagement with Indigenous communities to enhance traditional owner knowledge of modern, best practice, sustainable forest management principles. The goal was to boost the forestry capacity of traditional owner communities in the East Arnhem region. But at the same time, the research team was also committed to learning more about traditional owner forest management knowledge and practices, and investigating how the different concepts and approaches could be integrated to achieve the optimum balance of production, environmental, and cultural conservation outcomes. I caught up with two leading figures in this project: Associate Professor Mark Annandale from the University of the Sunshine Coast and Project Manager Dallas Anson from the Northern Territory Government, to find out more.
The overarching principles behind this project are around free, prior and informed consent. So the Indigenous people, the traditional owners for this area, make informed decisions about what they do on their traditional land before anything takes place. And the next fundamental issue is that whatever the project activities are, they support the sustainable livelihoods of those Indigenous people within the project.
What prompted the work, and what were the challenges or opportunities that it was designed to help address?
The project was initiated out of discussions with the Gumatj Corporation. So they're the traditional owners for the Branbran area, as well as other locations in East Arnhem Land. And historically, 10 years prior to this, the Gumatj Corporation have been selectively harvesting timber from one of the big mining leases, bauxite mining leases in the region, and using that timber for local construction purposes. And it's a vertically integrated business where they harvest the trees, run them through their sawmill, then they further process them in their workshop facilities for construction materials, roof trusses, rafters, decking, and other materials that they put in their houses in their construction firm. With the announced closure of that bauxite mine, which was around 8 to 10 years' notice, Gumatj people started considering where timber resources could be found to replace those selectively harvested from the mining lease areas. The discussion then developed over a couple of years with Branbran community. And the aim of the discussions, the development of the project, was about long-term security of supply of timber for the existing Gumatj Corporation vertically integrated forestry operations and construction operations. So that was the fundamental underlier to continue the business as it has been, but seek supply of saw log from alternate sources on Gumatj traditional land. The Gumatj people who live at Branbran, through about a two-year discussion to understand exactly what it means, said yes, they would like to participate. They then identified an area in which to undertake a demonstration project to test and demonstrate the sustainability and the technical operational process of doing that.
And then the part that the research team has played has been sharing additional
additional knowledge that might help to enhance or improve those efforts?
I'll pass to Dallas.
The traditional owners of the region, as Mark mentioned, in terms of Gumatj Corporation and Branbran traditional owners, were interested in forestry and pursuing sustainable forestry opportunities. But for the region, there was no foundational knowledge about the forests, about which traditional owners in which homelands were interested in forestry, about what their needs and desires were from forestry for themselves and from the communities,
yeah,
what the forest resource was, what kinds of timber products could complement traditional forest timber products or cultural products from the forest. So this project really addressed those foundational questions about, well, what would forestry look like in the region? What would traditional owner forest management practices and forest products combined with a Western timber forest product and forest management, what would that look like and where would it happen and who is interested in doing that? So that's what the project team with the traditional owners and Gumatj set out to answer some of those questions.
I think that's what makes the project so interesting, because it's definitely a sense of two-way learning, isn't it? It sounds to me like it was a very collaborative effort on both sides and wanting to kind of find a way of maybe taking some principles from traditional practices, aligning with some principles where appropriate from maybe Western forestry practices, ensuring that traditional owners were empowered to grow their forestry industry.
What the traditional owners want is self-determined by them. They all have a very clear vision of what it is that they want from forestry, the traditional owners that we worked with.
Yeah.
And it's about the project team supporting the traditional owners as they make those decisions for themselves and drive the direction of what they want in their forests for their needs. Yeah. Yes, it's collaborative. Yes, it's two-way learning. But I see the project team also being supporters to ensure that traditional owners get what they want, that their voice is heard, and the decisions that they make are the ones that are driving decisions in the forest and in the management and in the harvest of timber in the region.
A big portion of the activities that took place during the research project focus around training of traditional owners in various aspects of forestry. I was just wondering if you might be able to tell me a little bit about the sorts of things that the traditional owners were keen to learn more about.
As we talked about before, a key part of this project is about direct involvement, practical hands-on skills and development and learning. And we show and we talk and we learn and we listen to each other about forest management practices, about traditional owner forest values. And so a part of this project obviously was to demonstrate what Western forestry management principles were and what forestry operational activities were, to give the traditional owners a hands-on, you know, proof of concept experience where they're directly involved in learning those skills and learning forest resource assessments, you know, how to go out and measure the trees, how to put that data in a mobile phone app for them to share with us what kinds of resources they collect from the forest and seasonally and in different areas of the forest, to ensure that our forestry system that we were talking about for forestry management side of things was complementary to and not actually impeding in any way on their values in the forest. So we needed to do that together.
And here's a little from one of the traditional owners involved in the project, Mabo Mnungarij.
I live in Branbran. I do the timber works, and it's all about the nature and the culture.
The training was undertaken by 35 traditional owners and covered everything from forest resource assessment to harvesting operations, sawmilling, and value-adding processes for forestry products. In total, an incredible 1,647 hours of paid training was conducted throughout the project. And here's Balu Palu Yunapingu, another of the traditional owners involved with the project.
We're here to train our boys and girls as well to build skills for the future.
Most of the activities in this project were practical and hands-on. The measuring of the forest, the selection of the trees to cut down, to put in the sawmill, that was the traditional owners, you know, selecting which trees that they would harvest.
We cut certain trees and that's what we want to take, but we leave the other trees alone.
you know, the sawmilling activities where the men were shown how to use the mill and grade the timber and see the kind of cuts that you would get out of a particular size tree.
I was working with the sawmill guy and the chainsaw guy. I learned from them how to do the height, how to do cut properly with the chainsaw.
Of course, the women shared with us and showed me how to collect the bark off the tree for art. That's a very valuable cultural product that's coming out of the forest.
The art tells the story about the land, the trees, and about us, what's underneath the roots that people do us here for a long time.
As Dallas just mentioned, another key focus of the project was creating business development opportunities for timber products manufactured in the region. So in addition to the training, inventory activities were conducted by the team to provide a clearer picture of the productivity and product mix of the East Arnhem Native Forest resource. And a harvesting and marketing pilot program was developed to identify, manufacture, and market test value-added timber products. A demonstration site was then established in the remote community of Branbran. There, naturally durable, prototype stringy bark bollards were manufactured using locally harvested Darwin stringyback timber. A market assessment conducted by the research team identified strong interest in the bollards, and traditional owners were linked with prospective purchasers, collaborative business partners, and investors. Traditional artifacts were also produced using sawmilling offcuts. Bark canvases were processed using traditional techniques and then sold through local markets, generating income for traditional owners. The researchers also focused on driving stakeholder engagement around the potential of sustainable native forestry to support Indigenous livelihoods and regional economic development.
How unique is this? Is this a first of its kind in the context of Australian forestry and that collaboration and working with traditional owner communities, or has it been done elsewhere? Because I noticed one of the points in the report was that this could provide a bit of a blueprint for other traditional owner communities elsewhere in Australia to have a similar experience.
In the Northern Territory, there have been several projects over a number of years that weren't research for development projects. They were more development focused. So that's occurred over the last maybe 15 years on an ad hoc basis. The benefit of the FWPA funded project was to give some focus and support for the multiple benefits approach that Dallas outlined just now. The other thing that's really important to acknowledge is that Indigenous people in Northern Australia particularly, but elsewhere, during the missionary era, which lasted up until the 70s, what we've just done themselves with a couple of missionaries supporting that. So they harvested from their forests, they processed those timbers, they built their own houses, and they did it themselves. Many of those houses are still standing across the north, but those lessons and experiences have largely been forgotten. So in some regards, we've brought some of those learnings back. With regard to other research of a similar nature, there's been a fair bit of work over the last 25 years in Cape York Peninsula and other parts of Northern Australia that helped inform some of the early stages of this work that use similar models, but slightly different. And we learned from those experiences to help with this project's formation.
What would you say the outcomes of this work have been, both for the Australian forestry industry, but also for the Indigenous traditional owner communities that you worked with?
So from a national forestry industry perspective, this project has confirmed that the forest resources in Northern Australia, and of course, particularly in the Northern Territory, but we also integrated our knowledge of other parts of these same forest types across the whole north, are limited in their production potential because they've not been managed for timber supply purposes. So one outcome of this project is it's dispelled some of the myths that these forests are highly productive and have significant volumes of timber. That is not the case. So these forests do have small-scale sustainable supply opportunities for regional indigenous business to replace timber imports for their local construction needs, to export high-value, small volumes of timber and value-added products, to have an important supply into the national industry.
Mm.
So it's very important at a local scale. It's not industrial scale resource that's available, but still significantly important, and for the range of timber and non-timber forest products. But I'll hand over to Dallas.
Look, the outcomes for the communities involved, it's great to be able to have this project where we can demonstrate exactly what happens or what is possible when we take traditional forest management practices and cultural use of forests, and we merge it with a Western silvicultural or a sustainable forestry practice. And that is that the forest can continue to provide both for cultural and traditional owner products and practices and meaning and function. And then it also can provide, as Mark was saying, a low volume, you know, small scale community forestry enterprise or opportunities. As we know, remote housing across the country, particularly in the Northern Territory, you know, we need a lot more of it. We need multiple houses in homelands, communities, and importing that timber into the region is expensive. It's prohibitive. It slows down the building process. It makes the cost of housing several times what it should be. This is an opportunity for traditional owners to maintain their forests the way that they do traditionally, still getting all of their cultural products and their needs from that forest, but also to take a little bit of timber to put into infrastructure projects in their homelands, in their regions, that allows them to displace imported timber. And that are the benefits, you know, this kind of system will bring to Arnhem Land, to remote regions of the Northern Territory. And more importantly, this is what traditional owners need and want from their forests. So this is the output. They want housing. Utilising their own timber from their own homelands, I think, is just a fantastic opportunity to showcase what is possible when these two systems come together.
With regard to the more contemporary construction materials, increasingly over the last 10 to 15 years, metal products have been used for fascias, rafters, roof trusses and the like. And those metal products in a coastal environment where many of these houses are constructed are an inferior product because they rust. Whereas, of course, timber does not rust and is far more durable. So the additional benefit is the longevity of the houses that are built if using local hardwood construction materials.
Brain wants to build a house, a proper house for people to live, shelters and things like that. That's the plan.
Just sort of more broadly, I just wanted to see if you got a sense from members of the traditional owner communities as to what their takeaways were from having undergone this work and what kind of feedback you'd had from the traditional owners that you'd worked with.
They're ready to go. They're waiting. They want this opportunity. They want the opportunity to bring family back to homelands and children and men and women of all ages and have an economic and employment opportunity in that place, on that country, which they are intrinsically tied to.
Please help us do the building. We want to bring the school back here and we want to have a strong family here.
You know, the opportunity that small-scale community forestry, but also combined with, you know, payment for ecosystem services, managing the forest for other values, such as carbon, biodiversity, you know, cultural values, soil, water. We see a perfect system for homelands, remote Aboriginal communities. Mm. As Mark mentioned earlier, the forest resource, it's not high volume. It's not going to support a, you know, industrial commercial forestry industry. It will support small scale community forestry endeavours. But we would see that that's a part of the year or half of the year activity for employment and economic development. And the other half of the year would be managing country for those values that I just mentioned, which, by the way, is what traditional owners have been doing thousands of years already. So, you know, it's not a far stretch to say a little bit of forestry and then managing country, keep doing what you're doing and find a way to allow economic and employment opportunities to flow into those remote regions.
So the research team used their learnings from the initial training and engagement with traditional owners about their own forest management knowledge and practices to develop a proposal for a forestry training program designed to drive the future of the regional forestry workforce. The project team is now working to develop a follow-up project to further test the commercial viability of Indigenous community forestry in East Arnhem. And it's hoped this work will provide a model that could be refined for application in other areas of Northern Australia going forward.
I'd read that four of the East Arnhem traditional owners had actually presented at the Forestry Australia and New Zealand Institute of Forestry conference last year. And I guess I just wanted to see how that had been received.
That was very, very well received, actually. We had a great experience, all of us there in Tweed Heads. And the traditional owners was very, very keen to tell their story. They want to tell the story of forestry. They want to tell the story of Branbran. And they want to tell the story of their traditional owner connections to country and the forests. And so look, they were a little bit nervous, but so was I. So we had a lot of really good feedback from other traditional owner groups from around the country, traditional owners from Fiji. Part of the benefit of going to that conference for the traditional owners was for them to tell their story, but also hear other people's stories, to hear stories from Fiji, New Zealand, First Nations, and from Hawaii, to get an understanding of Indigenous forestry and First Nations forestry and forest livelihoods is something that's happening globally. Open their eyes a lot to see, hey, this is happening everywhere.
Also to add to that is that the conference was very well received. Forestry Australia, which represents forestry professionals around the country and other forest growers, etc., warmly welcomed all the traditional owners, including those from the project from Branbran and other locations. And they were very interested in Indigenous forestry and very supportive of Indigenous people increasingly participate in forestry at all levels. I think another important point, this has been a very important project from a research for development perspective more broadly, obviously as an inclusive project with Indigenous people on their traditional lands. But to give some context, the rest of Australia has been undertaking forestry research since the late 1800s. And for example, in North Queensland, forest research commenced in the year 1900 and is in the Northern Territory. It's relatively new in the last couple of decades at most. And this project has highlighted the need for ongoing research for development and catch up with the rest of the country.
I think it's also really important to talk about the future. So where to from here? We know that the traditional owners need and want housing in their regions. So the next phase of this project, we'll be looking to understand some of those follow-on questions from this original project. Forest certification for sustainable management of forests. And how can we understand what is it that the traditional owners want to focus on in terms of, in Western culture, we say ecosystem services. The traditional owners just say caring for country. So they care for all of it. They want all of it taken care of. The next steps is trying to understand what the traditional owners would like to focus on in an ecosystem services perspective, from a Western perspective, and see whether there are opportunities, payment for those ecosystem services, for traditional owners to keep managing their country the way they've been doing forever. The next phase, as you mentioned earlier, we are moving along with a proposal and we're hoping to build on the momentum of this project and the amazing outputs.
The team also developed a best practice free, prior and informed consent process to help determine the commercial forestry interests, needs and desires of other Indigenous communities in the future. The work was highly successful in generating interest in forestry amongst traditional owners and other stakeholders by creating an understanding of its potential to support ongoing Indigenous livelihoods and regional developments. And not only that, it's also provided a pathway to further develop financially and environmentally sustainable Indigenous-led commercial forestry in East Arnhem. Forest and Wood Products Australia facilitated this important work by providing funding to match the investment made by project partners, including the University of the Sunshine Coast, Northern Territory and Queensland governments, and other regional organisations and partners, including the Gumatj Corporation, the Northern Land Council, National Indigenous Australians Agency, Arnhem Land Progress Association, and Developing East Arnhem Limited. So we've showcased a wealth of incredible work in the forestry space over the years on Woodchat, but there was something about this work that stood out as being particularly important and so encouraging to see. Everyone involved should be commended for the part they've played in what will hopefully be a game changer for traditional owner communities and Australia's native forestry industry, with positive impacts potentially being felt for decades to come. And with that, that's just about it for another episode of Woodchat. We hope you like what you heard and that you'll join us again for the next episode to hear more fascinating timber-related news.